and welcome to Vegan Society's podcast number 9. I'm here with Andy.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm glad to be back. Ali.
Hi, Sarah.
And Eleanor.
Hello.
And just a reminder to you all, you can find us on the website at vegansociety.com/podcast. And it really helps us if you like or rate us on iTunes or SoundCloud. We love hearing from you, so please email in podcast@vegansociety.com. We're going to kick off today with a discussion of McDonald's vegan burger, which has apparently been released in Norway, and Ali has tried it. Ali?
Yeah, well, I was in Norway for the first time the other week, and I thought, you know, the burger had just been released, and...
So you didn't make the trip specifically?
No.
McDonald's?
No, definitely not. I'd actually forgotten about it until my friend said that she tried it, and I was like... Yeah, this is weird. I feel like I kind of should, so I can tell everyone about it, see what it's like. Normally McDonald's isn't my first choice of venue, but you know, it was just before we got on the plane, we decided to go for a quick meal. And yeah, it was just like a normal bean burger. Yeah, you have to ask for it about the mayo and the cheese.
I suppose there'll be a selection of vegans listening now who will be horrified at the fact that a vegan has gone to McDonald's. Mm. It's going to be two reactions, and one of horror, one of, oh, this is great, now I can go to McDonald's. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I think for me, the answer's in the middle. I think there's good things about it, there's bad things about it. Let's take the bad first. So let's say 10 people go to McDonald's today, they're all meat eaters. They could select the meat burger, and then McDonald's tomorrow release a vegan burger, and a vegan comes in, eats the vegan burger. No animals have been saved there. They've still sold 10 meat burgers and one vegan burger. But now McDonald's have more money, so they have more of an opportunity to grow and kill more animals, essentially, by growing. But then that's, we could say the same thing about ZZ or any other chain that's brought out vegan options. And then you're thinking, well, actually, by a vegan going into McDonald's, eating the vegan burger, it might bring up more opportunities for there to be vegan things on the menu, which might give a chance for the meat eater to not buy the meat option today, they'll buy the vegan option, and that will save animals.
Yeah, I mean, it's thought to have been maybe being released in the UK soon, which would be interesting because I'm sure that the vegan community is going to be very split. I just want to say that you should never shame anyone for going and buying a vegan burger at McDonald's, because I see on a lot of forums people, someone might post, oh, I just got some fries at 3 a.m. and from McDonald's, and then they get like half of it is all hate and half of it is like people defending them from that. And I think to be in the vegan movement, we need to be inclusive. We need to understand that some people will not have time to cook everything homemade from scratch. They might have a lot of fast food in their diet, and we shouldn't be judgy about that. And I think that all in all, it is good if it shows that they're actually being more receptive, and like Andy says, I think more and more meat eaters or vegetarians were going to opt for the vegan burger. So yeah, let's hope that really makes an impact.
I think the only difference here between McDonald's putting out a vegan burger and any other restaurant or chain that isn't vegan putting out a vegan burger is just that McDonald's, for whatever reason, is just far more emotive company generally. There are certain organizations like, or companies like McDonald's and like Coca-Cola as well, like certain big corporations that people think of more as symbols than anything else.
Yeah, and we should all realize there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, which means that whatever we eat and do in the Western world is going to be have a negative effect somewhere along that chain. And so I don't think it's any different eating McDonald's as it is to shopping at a supermarket, and these are things that we cannot stop doing because it is too hard to shop at your local health food store unless you have bags of time and bags of money.
And aside from that, I'd like to chat a little bit about accessibility, which Abby has touched on, and to remind everyone that we do still sadly live in a non-vegan world. So one of the options that we have, and a potentially powerful option, is to choose where we spend our money and to support organisations that are choosing to promote and put out vegan options. And that's a powerful thing that we can do because it impacts people's bottom line, and that's how they make decisions based on how much cash they're going to get out. And also talk about the range of foods and options that are available in different places. Not everywhere has a great health food shop. Not everywhere has a lovely little market with fruit and veg. And not everyone carries around packs of hummus and carrot sticks. Although I think we all know someone who does. So just as the movement is full of diverse people, so those people are going to have different eating options. And we need to be accepting of others in the movement rather than rejecting them out of hand. If for an ethical reason you choose not to go to McDonald's, then that's your choice. And other people should respect that as much as you need to respect people's decision to go and choose them, because there is a balance. I mean, for me, I will probably not go, but that's because I don't consider it a burger unless I can have cheese and mayo. So I need that sorting out.
I definitely don't think there's any point going if you've got like a vegan place in the same city nearby that's open. If only we could have a vegan fast food place open all night, and then that would be fantastic.
I think
go, that's fine, but it's only going to make a difference if the meat eaters choose the vegan option. And how best about are we going to do that? McDonald's isn't going away. It's very successful for a number of reasons. So, and it has world reach, so when they do add vegan things, it goes across the world, and that's amazing. But it's only going to make a difference if a meat eater buys a vegan option. So how best can we make that happen? Probably by promoting and saying the vegan option's tasty and it's nice and it tastes better. There was talks of McDonald's bringing in the Impossible Burger, which is a company in America, and it tastes like meat, but it's made of plants. So there's options like that. I think this is how we're going to change the world, by using capitalism to our advantage. So things like this, things like the vegan trademark, which trademarks products and makes them more accessible. These are the things that are really going to make a huge difference in the next 20, 30 years.
Speaking of the vegan trademark, I understand that we have recently launched an exciting trademark campaign.
Yep, it's called Yes It's Vegan, and it's basically trying to highlight our vegan trademark. So in case you don't know, our vegan trademark registers like products that are vegan. And by vegan, of course, we mean not animal tested. We have very stringent rules on this. And you can look at our full standards on vegansociety.com/trademark standards. So we just kind of want to let people know that the vegan trademark is all encompassing, because lots of people don't actually think that it includes food that isn't animal tested. But of course, to be vegan, food, toiletries, and cosmetics and everything, some people don't think that it includes the fact that these things aren't animal tested, and that's an important thing that we want to get across. So we're basically also running a competition with the trademark where you can win a trolley full of Suma goodies, like a massive £150 prize, if you take a picture of the vegan trademark logo on the product, like in your store, in your local supermarket, and send it to @vegantrademark on Twitter or Instagram. We've just got some new channels up to promote the vegan trademark so people can understand what it is. So send it into @vegantrademark via Twitter or Instagram with the #YesItsVegan. And details of the competition can be found at www.vegansociety.com/trademark competition, and the link will be at the bottom of the podcast.
Yeah, and you use this opportunity as an activist tool. You can take a picture of BioLife or another vegan cheese and hashtag it, yes it's vegan, but also hashtag it cheese, and tell cheese eaters that this is as good or better than regular cheeses. Same with milk. Milk Day was just passed, and I took a picture of some milk, some vegan milk, and just said, oh, plant-based is better. So you can really get creative with it and use it as an activist tool.
And remember to shop in the non-food aisles as well, because as Ali mentioned, there's lots of cosmetics, of toiletries that are registered with the vegan trademark, so you can be sure that not just the stuff that you're putting in your body, but the stuff that you're putting on your body is completely free from animal ingredients. Animals were not used in the manufacturing process, and it has not been tested on animals. Meanwhile, in the sporting world, Andy has an update from Forest Green Rovers.
Forest Green Rovers are the first football club, or soccer club, to go vegan.
Yay!
So what does that mean? That means supporters can't buy anything that isn't vegan on the day of the match. The canteen for the players and staff is completely vegan. And they also promote veganism. So the owner of Forest Green Rose, Dale Vince, owns Ecotricity, which is a electricity company that produces wind energy and solar energy. And the whole ethos is around promoting veganism, and they've recently got the vegan trademark, actually. Mm-hmm. So this is big news because they've just been promoted to the Football League, which means they're going to get a lot more attention.
And did they actually get promoted?
They got promoted.
Yeah, congratulations, Forest Green Rovers.
It's great, and they got some publicity from that, obviously, because they're playing bigger teams. And what was going around social media was fans from those bigger teams will now have to go to Forest Green Rovers for away matches and eat vegan food. Mm-hmm. And apparently they already get some abuse from fans, but it's in a good nature. Like, they chant things about meat and things.
Have we got some good response chants? That's the important thing. Yeah.
Apparently they were chanting vegan at Wembley. So, yeah,
nice.
Quite a nice way.
I like that. So are there vegan pies in the stands? That's pretty important for me, Andy.
There are vegan pies. I did some research into the kind of food that they're selling because I thought it's obviously great, but it wouldn't work if they were doing salad and hummus sandwiches.
No, you've got to have a pie.
You've got to have a pie. So, yeah, they're doing pies, burgers, chips, just like normal food that you get at a football ground, but it's
nice.
All vegan.
Oh, grand.
What kind of pie?
Vegan pie.
Made of genuine vegans.
So on the election campaign, the general election in the UK, the Theresa May was asked a question on veganism. So it's very rare for a sitting PM to be asked a question on veganism. So we've taken a look at her response and we have a few thoughts. So we're going to play that now.
Veganism is gaining a lot of popularity now, and there's lots of benefits of adopting that for your personal health and the environment. I was just wondering if you had any plans to become more open about that or introduce anything. Perhaps, for example, my son doesn't have a vegan option on the school menu at his primary school, or if he was going to be any more open about it at all.
It's to be honest, I think it's the first time I've been asked about veganism in I mean, I think to me that's a personal choice, and very much a personal choice. And I think that in terms of things like school meals and things like that, obviously, if somebody's made the personal choice, then it is open to you to ensure that your son's he doesn't necessarily have to have the school meal, but is able to have something that you think is right. But as I say, it's the first time anybody has asked me about that, and I'm afraid I eat meat. I should admit that, yes.
Whilst technically veganism, yes, is a personal choice, what Theresa May neglected to mention is that it is also protected in legislation. The Equality Act 2010 protects your right to religion or belief, and test cases in the UK have proven that veganism counts as a religion or belief. So there is actually much more responsibility on government to support veganism than she actually replied to in her question. Yeah. It's not the responsibility of the parent to ensure that their child is fed vegan school meals. There is an onus on schools to support and welcome and to avoid direct or indirect discrimination against vegan children. If any listeners are having any trouble with their schools, please do email us in advocacy@vegansociety.com. That's advocacy@vegansociety.com, and we are here to support you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's not surprising that she doesn't know this, considering she wants to rip up the whole human rights bill. Equality is actually essentially wants to reduce our rights, and this is a fact. So, which she has said recently.
She didn't know the answer, that's the bottom line. And when someone doesn't know the answer, it doesn't matter if they're Prime Minister or someone on the street, they went back to the, oh, I eat meat. I'm afraid I eat meat, and that's, have a laugh with it. You know, these are incredibly educated people who still go back to the I eat meat. It's not a serious answer, is it? So it's not just I'll quickly play a clip from Barack Obama, who was asked a question about veganism from our friends at Vegan Outreach in the United States in 2008, just months before he became president. And let's hear his response.
Now, I have to say, in the interest of full disclosure, that I do like a steak once in a while. I'm just being honest. I like barbecue. I'm not gonna lie.
Trying to relate to people, they're campaigning. They aren't educated about veganism, but they're in an election season. They need to win votes, and especially in America, eating meat is a relatable thing. I'm like you. I have a barbecue too, and that wins votes.
It shows the importance of bringing these kinds of things up with your MP. So when Theresa May was asked, she said several times, it's the first time I've been asked about this. Whether that's true or not, it shows now that she's obviously been asked about it in a public platform. She can't say that again. And the more that people bring these kinds of things up with their elected MP, then, yeah, hopefully it'll have some kind of positive effect and they'll recognise that there are people in their constituencies that have beliefs that they need to represent because that's their job.
So what we're saying is write to or email your MP with a question about what your MP is going to do to help promote veganism. If you want some facts and figures, our Grow Green report at vegansociety.com/growgreen is a great place to start, and you can email them a copy of the report and join in on our campaign where we encourage our Vegan Society supporters to email their MP about this. We have a question from a listener. Lucy emails in, I decided to try a vegan diet only a few days ago and it's been really helpful listening to your podcast to boost me on. I went to Tesco today and bought lots of vegan snacks, treats, ice cream, cheese, yogurts. I love the cream cheese but hated the cheddar cheese. It was such a strong acidic taste, really overpowering. I wondered if you knew of any vegan cheeses that are more similar to the real thing, as cheese is my favourite thing to eat and I can't imagine a life never having it again.
Wow, we've got a blog on this.
We are so into vegan cheese we cannot even tell you.
Yeah, we've got... Like, we actually did a taste testing session, like, the last year, year before, on, like, all loads of different vegan cheeses, and some more have come out since then. But if you go to vegansociety.com/vegancheese, you can see it all there. Personally, I think the cheddar that you got from Tesco's, yeah, that can be a bit of a strong one at first. Like, I didn't like it at first, but now I really do, so it's one of those things about letting your taste buds adjusting, or also melting it. It tastes so much different melted. Personally, you can... And you might be able to get the Alive from Tesco as well, and that would be a better choice for a beginner because it's milder.
A beginner,
yeah.
Training cheeses.
If you haven't got your degree in vegan cheese yet, try Fire Life.
Kind of. It took me like a year to get educated in vegan cheese.
Yeah, start off with your sats.
The vegan mozzarella is really good that Fire Life do. It melts really, really well. I put it on top of a lasagna and that was excellent.
Also, if you can get yourself to any vegan fairs or festivals, often they've got a different companies there who might be a bit smaller, so you might not be able to find their products in such mainstream places. But I think Vegusto was the first cheese I had that I liked after going vegan.
Me too.
And also there's a company called Tyne Cheese. I've not tried their cheeses, but I've heard that they're absolutely amazing. Every time I've been to a festival, their stall has just been completely jammed with pesky vegans eating all their cheese.
And just to add, Sainsbury's as well have brought out cheeses, which is the same cheese as in Tesco, but they've got different varieties. And they have a feta, which is amazing. It's really creamy. And I think you should go to Sainsbury's and try some of those as well.
That one melts really well as well. And they've got, I think my favourite one is the Wensleydale and cranberry style one from Sainsbury's. Mm.
Yeah. I have fed that to non-vegans at picnics and they did not realise. And I laugh. Ali, can you just remind us of the URL for our cheese blog again?
It's www.vegansociety.com/vegancheese.
And if you have a great cheese tip or any other tips you want to share, please email in podcast@vegansociety.com. So, vegan tips?
My tip is about zero waste. So if you're vegan and think, I want to be better than vegans, I want to get to the next level.
I want to be squared.
I want my vegan power up.
Exactly.
I want to shame vegans.
Get to the next level by becoming zero waste vegan, and there's loads of online resources. So there's a YouTube channel called Sustainably Vegan, and there's loads of good tips on there. But essentially, it's not really zero waste because you've always got the waste of the other end. It's almost like take home, no waste, like there's no home waste. So a lot of it relies on the company you're buying it from, the store you're buying it from, giving you the option to take things away without packaging. So I get quite down when I buy like loads of seeds and nuts from Holland & Barrett, and they come in these packaging, it's non-recyclable, you have to throw it away. But Holland & Barrett have the bins, so use the bins instead, and you can take your own jars and
be
things
vegan.
Like that.
Get your food from a bin.
That's another way to be zero waste, I suppose.
That is good, yeah. Go, yeah. What's it called? Freeganism.
I'd love to try that.
Yeah,
I
would
diving.
Definitely love to go and get loads of food from a bin.
They make it harder, don't they? They lock the bins, don't they?
Or they spray them blue.
Oh, really?
Spray food blue. Ugh.
Shocking.
We got some from a thing. It said it was a biohazard. That was just to put you off. It wasn't actually. We were all fine.
So you didn't get any superpowers afterwards. Disappointing.
Just to point in a health and safety tip, we do not guarantee any of the advice from the Vegan Society podcast.
Do not eat food which is a biohazard.
Yeah, please don't make yourself ill.
There's another good resource called zerowastehome.com, and that tells you where you can find some stores that give you the option to take things away without any packaging. And eBay is really good. I get a lot of my seeds from eBay, and you can buy in bulk. So you get a couple of kilograms or whatever of seeds, and if you have a little storage place at home, stick it in there. That's really good for zero waste. And it's really important because just the amount of production that goes into creating these packagings is really bad for the environment, and then throwing them away is of course bad as well.
So my tip is about vegan fish. So my friend the other day cooked this really good fish and chips meal with Winyip fish that's vegan. So if you go to Winyip, it's like the biggest Asian store in the UK, but any like Chinese store, supermarket, that kind of thing, is likely to have some in its frozen section and this vegan fish stuff. And you pick some up, you make a batter with it, you fry it in a deep frying pan with lots of oil, then maybe bake it in the oven, get some chips from the chip shop, and then it's just like you're having a proper vegan fish and chips supper.
Yeah. And that's for all of the people who unfortunately don't live in Birmingham where we're based, and so don't have two chip shops nearby that do vegan fish.
We are blessed.
Corn ever scampi, that's vegan. That's good.
Do you know that was Linda McCartney?
Scampi.
Yeah, who do scampi. And corn do fish fingers.
Linda McCartney have a scampi, that's really good.
Yeah.
Corn do fish fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, are they vegan?
Yeah, they're vegan. Okay. They're vegan. They are good. I've had them in a sandwich with vegan mayo, because it's not a sandwich unless there's mayo in it. And yeah, I was pretty into them. Now it's time for off topic.
So at the weekend, quite a lot of us from the office did the Wolf Run. So there was me and Andy and Elna and Heather, who you've had on the podcast before, and anyone else
Alex.
On the podcast? Alex, yeah.
Tom
wasn't there.
Oh yeah.
Tom wanted to be
We're
there.
We're just gonna name.
<I'm
gonna
smile>.
Alright, so a lot of your podcast regulars were there, and it was really fun. It was 10K. It's a bit like Tough Mudder, if you've ever heard of that, where you go over obstacles, under obstacles, through mud, get stuck in mud, that kind of thing. Climb up climbing ropes, and then you get a vegan cliff bar and a t-shirt at the end. So I think if you're a vegan and you're wanting to challenge yourself a little bit, then I'd suggest the Wolf Run. It's a bit less than Tough Mudder, which I think is 15K or 10 miles. And, it's a good day out. And that cliff bar at the end is really good. So
I love cliff bars. They're my favourite. They always sell them at climbing centres.
I'm recommending a documentary called Hypernormalizations by Adam Curtis. It's available on iPlayer in the UK. Well, I have seen it on YouTube for international listeners. So what's it about? It's about how we've moved away from collectivism to individualism, and how everyone is now consumed with the individual. The I, not we. So you can see that play out in cultural narratives and social media. And I think there's a lesson here for veganism. So what Adam suggests is things like the Occupy Wall Street movement failed because of individualism. The people were not willing to give themselves up to the movement in a way that people had before, for example, the civil rights movement, when essentially people of all different races from around America stopped their lives for 10 years, went down to the South and protested, risking violence and giving up their personal life for the collective good of civil rights for minorities. Although we associate individualism with, oh, individual rights, every individual is important, we strive for collective rights, don't we? So living in a time where individual rights, appealing to people, can be difficult when you're focusing on the lives of animals and the environment. So that's why sometimes the health debate comes to the fore, because that's an individual motive to go vegan. But unfortunately, the literature on that is very blurred. So I was thinking of ways how we can more appeal to the individual. And maybe that's through well-being and the fact that veganism is a lifestyle and it can improve your life as a whole. Something I think the vegan movement could very well go into, and it could help us all.
So Andy prepared a short dissertation for his off topic. I have written down cycling to work, geese. So I've started cycling to work. I'm really enjoying it, even in the rain sometimes. But I see a particular family of geese twice a day, and they're very cute. And the baby goose is now grown, all big and fat and fluffy. That's my off-topic. Looking at geese.
That's pretty important.
Human-animal
interactions are really important, especially for vegans.
Because I take pictures of them most days.
Yeah, they really help us connect with the creatures that we are trying to protect and support and help. And remind us why we're doing it, and also help connect us with the wider world and with the living environment, which, to get a bit hippie-woo for a moment, is something that is genuinely important to your well-being. So get out in those national parks, Andy.
Yeah.
Go to a national park.
Don't feed them bread.
No, don't feed them bread.
That's a good tip. Yeah.
Feed them frozen peas or oats.
I was going to say, I connect with a certain animal when I cycle to work as well. Well, to Huddersfield train station, where I leave my bike, and that's Felix, the Huddersfield train station cat. He's a train station cat. She's got her own Facebook page with like over 100,000 followers or something.
Once again, you've been listening to the 9th edition of the Vegan Society podcast. You can find us online at vegansociety.com/podcast. Please do like or rate us on iTunes and SoundCloud, and if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, share it with your friends. We love to hear from you, so do email us in, podcast@vegansociety.com. That's podcast@vegansociety.com. So that's all for this month. Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, from us?
Yeah, from all of us.
We bought the CEO a Christmas present.
Yes.
Did we?
Yes. You were very generous.
Did the CEO buy us a present?
Yeah, he gave us chocolate.
He gave us chocolate.
Two bars because you asked for an extra one.
I did have some chocolate.
And we went out for dinner.
Okay.